Welcome to the Haney Biz Project with Mark Haney. Mark is a serial investorpreneur and the chief dreaming officer of the Haney Biz Companies. He's working tirelessly to ignite the entrepreneurial revolution and share the inspiring stories of the region's most influential leaders. And now, here's Mark Haney.
All right. This is the Haney Biz Project, and we are on a mission to ignite the entrepreneurial revolution right here in our hometown of Sacramento. I'm Mark Haney, and it's Thanksgiving Day weekend, and I'm one of those guys that cannot turn it off. I am here for you on Thanksgiving, and I'm inspired today. I'm here with my main man, Marcus Haney. Marcus, you hanging or banging today on Thanksgiving Day weekend?
Well, I think I'm going to do a little hanging here on Thanksgiving weekend.
A little downtime. When we're banging, that means we're at our very best. This could be a good opportunity for some of us to kind of get ahead, get that little extra amount of creativity going, and I need my creativity, Mark and Marcus. So I'm thinking about, as we're here on Thanksgiving Day weekend, and thinking about what I'm most thankful for, and we're here inside Mark Tank, right, at the Allegiant Giving Center here in Rockland, and all around me are the things that I'm most thankful for. My team is here by my side. I have memorabilia of things that are important to me all around me, and I have you, Marcus Haney, somebody I'm extremely thankful for. Now, what are you thankful for this weekend?
I'm thankful for my son, Hunter, yes, my family, my friends, and Grizzly Wintergreen for saving my life and giving me the opportunity.
Is that tobacco?
It's chewing tobacco. Thanks for sending it to me. But it saved my life and gave me an opportunity to be here and help with the entrepreneurial revolution, which can change so many lives.
So many people don't know that story, Mark.
We'll have to tell them sometime.
Yeah,
huh?
You took one for the team in Afghanistan, and with the help of Winter Grizzly Tobacco, it ricocheted off of the metal can and saved it from basically taking off your leg.
Huh? Yeah, pretty much. It probably went through my femoral artery.
It's the most ironic story. We'll tell it one day, and I am thankful for that as well, Marcus. And I'm also thankful when you came back from Afghanistan, you advanced up to the adult table. We have like 30 people around at the time we eat our Thanksgiving Day dinner, and you were always at the kids table. You came back from Afghanistan and you got promoted.
Yeah, I got rid of my tray too, so I was pretty stoked about that.
You got to come and hang out with the adults, put a little time in, and you had earned your spot at the adult table. Well, we are glad to have you here, and I'm glad this week to be talking to two people, or actually four people on today's show, that are making such a difference. I'm so thankful that I get to help tell the stories of the most influential people here in Sacramento. We have a front row seat to entrepreneurship and all the great things that are happening right here in the Sacramento community. Later in the show, we will meet the owner of Molly Maids and the city councilman of Roseville. Mr. John Allard will be joining us. We will also meet the dynamic duo of startup Sack, Laura Good, and Jeff Bennett. But coming up after the break, we will meet the quarterback of the region, the CEO of Greater Sacramento Economic Council, Mr. Barry Broom, is in the house. Join the revolution at HaneyBiz.com, brought to you courtesy of Five Star Bank. This is the Haney Biz Project.
Now, back to the Haney Biz Project with host Mark Haney.
All right. Welcome back to the Haney Biz Project, brought to you courtesy of Sun System Technology. I'm Mark Haney, and I am joined by Barry Broom. Barry is the president and CEO of Greater Sacramento Area Economic Council, GSAC. He basically runs the region's, he acts as the quarterback for all the leaders in Sacramento to bring the team together for economic growth. How you doing, Barry?
Doing great. Doing fabulous.
Thank you for coming in today. You and I talked on the way in, as we were going in, through email slightly. You're an athlete, you're a wrestler, and we're going to talk about that a little bit later in the show. We're going to talk a little bit about what we're thankful for, but we are thankful for what you are doing right here in Sacramento. Talk to us about what GSAC is and what you're doing today.
Yeah, thank you. Well, first off, we're privileged to represent the community and work for the community. I always consider that a privilege and feel very lucky to be here. So our job, it is to make the Sacramento region a more advanced and innovative economy. So as you know, historically, we've been a quiet government town. We found out in 2008, there's some lumps that can come along with that. Yeah. If you're watching the news, you probably don't want your economic future too much in the hands of government. So, you know, if we can, so our goal is to really pivot the community's economy away from government into advanced industries, right? So that's everything from clean tech industries like, you know, sports products like your friend Jordan and my friend Jordan. It could be autonomous cars. We're getting a lot of traction in biomedical and pharmaceutical, food and ag, you know, software and energy. And then, of course, complementary, I think we can become a headquarters location, which I would not have thought coming in.
Yeah, great things are beginning to happen in Sacramento. You mentioned Jordan Darling built Freeform right here in Sacramento and recently had an incredible exit. But what else is happening right now, right? We saved the Kings, so we have Golden One, but we're seeing all these seeds begin to be planted and actually begin to grow. Talk to us about what it looks like out there right now.
Yeah, so I think first off from, you know, we're competing for Amazon for 50,000 jobs. So even though Jeff Bezos is worth $88 billion, I consider this decision on whether or not he locates with Sacramento the litmus test on really whether or not he's a talented business leader, you know. But the $88 billion, he may pull rank on me.
Yes.
But, you know, I think we have a very competitive story for Amazon, and we have gone after Amazon with the expectations to win it. You know, one of the things that we've learned in this process is, you know, our community is very competitive, willing to work and cooperate together for big ideas. But also, we learned, you know, we need a regime change from an economic mentality standpoint at the state. Great gratitude to Governor Brown, but the next governor is going to have to do a better job on helping us with the economy. And it was announced just the previous week was Sacramento State Student Entrepreneurship Program.
You bet.
So our organization has been working with Dr. Robert Nelson and Dale on designing that. I know you're on the advisory board. Yep. I'm on the advisory board. But there's, you know, a lot of things that weren't out in that press conference was Rick Rasmussen out of Berkeley, who's had five IPOs, is designing the curriculum for the program. And we're looking forward to working with Sac State on an emphasis on artificial intelligence and machine learning. We have about 7 or 8 companies to announce in the next 2 or 3 months.
Wow.
So we're starting to get some nice traction there. And I think we're starting to see real signs that there are some industries like biomedical, biotech, pharmaceutical, that I think we can be a major player in that people may not consider us a major player in. So our goal the first 5 years, I've been in the job a little over 2.5, was to change the brand and the reputation of the community, make it more efficient, productive, and competitive, and build a true public-private partnership. So the last 2 weeks, we've gotten our 40th CEO on our board. So we have 40 CEOs on this board. 30 of them have made a $500,000 commitment. 10 have made a $250,000 commitment.
Wow.
And that is not a small commitment by any market, let alone a market our size. And I think it speaks to the real strength of our region in Sacramento, and that is the commitment that our community has to ourselves and to our future. And I'm humbled by the level of dedication of the CEOs, and 20 public leaders are on the board with them. So it's really exciting time.
Incredible commitment. And you mentioned Dale. We're talking about Dale Carlson, the founder of the Sleep Chain. He just donated $6 million to Sacramento State in the name of entrepreneurship. He and his wife, Katie. I mean, you mentioned you and I are sitting on the advisory board. But as we start to plant those seeds, right, at Sac State, it's even younger than the entrepreneurs. I mean, mm-hmm. A lot of these guys are fledgling entrepreneurs or thinking about being entrepreneurs. So you're 2.5 years into this five-year goal. I mean, you have some big stuff on the horizon. Can you give us a sense as to what your vision is maybe after the 5 years is up and maybe even beyond?
I think, you know, one of the things that building a community's economy is just like starting a business. So, you know, I walked in the door 2.5 years ago with 12 CEOs, no public officials in a file. I had a few employees from the former SACTA organization that hung around and helped me launch this. And I want to put a shout out to Anna Strauss, who's a friend of ours, who did a great job with me. Sherry Little, who's now over at CalPERS, and Vanessa Young, who works at SMUD. So we had three of them really hang in there and help me launch this and did a great job and helped with the transition. But I think after the second 5 years, you know, I always call it lift your chin, broaden your shoulders, and steel your spine, because, you know, transforming an economy is going to take intense dedication. But I think years 5 and 10 beyond that, I think we'll have an established reputation nationally as an innovative market. We're trending right now, top 18 in the U.S. Our goal is to be in the top 20 in the world, and we think we can do that by 2030. I think our next 5 years out, instead of corporations immediately choosing the East Bay when they reallocate their assets out of the city, I think we'll be a much more likely candidate for headquarters. And I think you look at our airport now, we have the number one rated airport in the U.S. This is how things can change. 10 years ago, the county supervisors put $1 billion in the airport, financed it competed against Gates. We lost 25% of our business. They restructured the business. It's now the number one rated airport in the United States of America for customer service by J.D. Power. So it's that really determined excellence that takes 5 to 10 years that's in front of us. But I'm confident we'll step up to the plate and achieve it.
Well, it takes leadership. And I think, Barry, I think of you as a leader. You're assembling this group of powerful entrepreneurs and successful business people and bringing the government together to try to work together. But I'm thinking about you as a leader because your style is uncommon. We make a lot of sports references on this show. You were a wrestler. And I was thinking about Barry as an athlete, as a young person, and thinking as an older guy, you're still in great shape, right? Let's say we got a bunch of 50-year-olds together and we're saying, you know what, let's choose up sides for tackle football. It'd be like, I hope I'm on Barry's team. You know, it's like, I don't want to get tackled by Barry. But where did that bulldog mentality come from? Where did you get your philosophy from?
You know, I'll tell you, my dad was a World War II Marine. So my mom was an Irish immigrant that grew up on the south side of Chicago. And education and toughness, not in that order, was what they taught. It's old school, but the worst thing that could happen to you and my family was somebody whipped your behind on the playground.
Oh.
Yeah, you didn't
you didn't come home after getting your butt kicked.
You were, that guy better have been 4 years older and a foot taller. And, you know, I always tell people, you know, when we were kids growing up, bus stop was go time because my mom was insistent that we operated in that neighborhood with respect. You know, I'm from Ohio in the Rust Belt. So it was, you know, blue collar neighborhood. And I had, I was in the police athletic leagues coming up. So my coaches were all cops.
Yeah.
And my older brothers were wrestlers. And so, age eight, I'm on a wrestling mat. So I was the only kid, like when I was 9 years old, I couldn't go to bed unless, you know, I did 250 stand-ups and 250 push-ups. From age nine.
Wow.
So the other thing too, which, you know, we need to do a better job at instilling people, just, you know, I have a lot of pride in what I do. And the one thing I always say, hey, nobody's perfect, but I'll never let anybody outwork me. And that's really a philosophy in my mind that I'm always going to outwork everybody. So when I go head to head in business or in economics or politics with anyone, my first mentality is I'm going to break them down and I'm going to wear them out. And whatever the strategy is, I'm going to break them down and wear them out.
Just like on the wrestling match.
We're going to go in on the inside. We're going to bang on the head. You bang on the head, the legs go. Once the legs go, you can take them down and pin them.
I love it. Okay, so just one final question. With Thanksgiving in mind, and sometimes we never get to say thanks in our life because we don't really realize at the time, or maybe we're shy or reserved at the time, we never get that opportunity to say thank you to people who have helped us along the way. With Thanksgiving in mind, who are you most thankful for, Barry?
Well, you know, I think I'm most thankful for my wife, who's been married to me 31
Beth?
Years.
Yeah. Saint?
Yeah.
Saint Beth?
That is literally her nickname in my family. I swear, it's Saint Beth, honest to God. So, you know, to be married to someone 31 years, you know, they got to forgive you, they got to love you, they got to put up with you, they got to believe in you. So I would start by saying I have been thankful for her and my family. But, you know, I was thinking about this the other day too. You know, I'm really thankful that when you're successful in life, and, you know, this is what I wanted to do, so I've been successful at it. You're in your 20s and 30s, you're thinking you're doing that on your own, right? Because you're establishing yourself. But by the time you're in your 40s, it's starting to dawn on you that maybe you're not doing this on your own. And I think everything from teachers that inspired me, I always had great coaches. I had a great high school football coach that was, you know, legendary in Ohio for ethics and character and determination and preparation. I had a great high school wrestling coach. I had a great college wrestling coach who held us to very high standards. And I had great teachers. And of course, I went to a Jesuit university. So I had, you know, priests as mentored that really held me to a high standard. So I was very fortunate to, spend my life around high quality people with high standards. And I try to reflect that in our organization. I think it's reflected in our organization and on our board that, you know, we operate with high standards because we're representing people that have high standards and high ethics.
A lot of gratitude to go around. Barry Broom joining us. He is the leader at GSAC, the CEO and president. I can tell you, Barry, that we are grateful that we have you here representing us in Sacramento from an entrepreneurial standpoint, and you are doing so much. So thank you for what you do here for Sacramento.
Thank you. Coming up
after the break, we will meet John Aller. John is the owner of Molly Maids, and he's a councilman for the city of Roseville. Join the revolution at HaneyBiz.com, courtesy of Audi Rockland. This is the Haney Biz Project.
Ah!
Welcome back to Mark Haney, igniting the entrepreneurial revolution with the Haney Biz Project.
Welcome back to the Haney Biz Project, brought to you courtesy of Hub International. I'm Mark Haney, and today I am joined by John Allard, the owner of Molly Maids, and he's a city councilman for the city of Roseville. How you doing, John?
I'm doing great. How are you, Mark?
I'm doing great. Let's talk about, you know, I don't know where to take this. I've got a number of things I want to talk to you about. Maybe give us an overview of your business to start. You own a Molly Maids outfit.
Yeah.
What is that?
Well, my wife and I bought the existing Molly Maid franchise that was located in Rockland 12 and a half years ago. And we had decided we wanted to have our own business. We talked about it for years and years and years and always said, okay, so what's the business going to be? And this Molly Maid franchise came up for sale and just out of the blue. And we decided, let's give it a shot because, you know, Placer County is growing. Our territory is South Placer County. We started out with 4 employees. We now have 30 employees.
Wow.
This year, we're on target to do about $1.2 million in revenue. So it's been an amazing experience. But as Barry Broom mentioned, this is a tough state to do business in.
Yeah.
It's a challenge.
Well, it's tough to find good people, too, these days, especially in these service jobs, right? It seems to me that there's a little bit of a shortage, maybe a lot of a shortage in construction, in janitorial type jobs, these service jobs. What do you guys do to combat that shortage?
Well, we're experiencing that, Mark. We're having a tough time finding employees. In fact, we turn away business every single day because we don't have the employees that we need to service the business. So if we could hire today, we would hire probably 5 or 6 people on the spot. But it's hard to find people. It's hard to find good people. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to find people that have the work ethic that you need for the jobs that we have. That's a challenge.
So is it a good chance to raise pricing if there's such a shortage?
Well, we're actually looking at having to raise prices on January 1st because of the increase in minimum wage. Mm-hmm. You know, gas is going up. Everything's going to go up as a result. So
we're seeing that happen in construction.
Absolutely.
Right? It's everything's ticking up a little bit. They have to. You need to.
It's tough. It's tough finding people. It's tough finding good people. I mean, once you get them trained, it's tough keeping them.
And thinking about, you know, we're talking about business on this show, but as the city councilman for the city of Roseville, you're a leader within South Placer. What's the business climate like in Roseville and South Placer?
Well, first of all, I just want to compliment your previous guest. Barry Broom was here earlier. I want to compliment him on the work that he's doing because he's not only helping communities like Roseville and Rockland and Lincoln, but the greater Sacramento region be much more competitive on an economic basis and helping to bring jobs and businesses and opportunities to our, you know, to our region. Mm-hmm. So Roseville's a great place. My wife and I have been in Roseville for 32 years. It's an amazing community. It's a great place for people to raise a family. It's a great place for people to start a business, but it's very competitive. Economically, it's very competitive right now. And so we got to stay on the cutting edge and trying to attract good businesses, good jobs, good people to our community.
Yeah. And I grew up in Roseville. So in many ways, I consider Sacramento my hometown, but specifically Roseville. My wife and I last year, we bought our burial plots. We're going to be buried in Roseville. So I'll live my remaining days in Roseville. And it is a great town. Schools, parks, the way, law enforcement. I mean, there's a lot of great things. I can't see why somebody wouldn't want to locate a business in Roseville.
Well, you know, one of the challenges we're finding, in fact, I just had a conversation about this morning. One of the challenges we're finding with bringing bigger businesses to Roseville is many communities in the region and throughout the nation are getting much more competitive about providing incentives for businesses to come to their community. Roseville has not been as aggressive about that, and that's something I'm trying to change because I think that's important. We've got to be competitive. You know, it's a great community. Quality of life is high. But there's competition to bring businesses and jobs to communities. And so we're looking at ways maybe we can be a little more competitive when it comes to incentivizing businesses to come to Roseville.
Yeah, and a lot of these things, you know, Barry talks about deals, right? He makes deals all the time. And you and I have talked about this a little bit. Sometimes it takes locking yourself in a room and coming up with a deal. It doesn't happen by just a flyer that says great parks and great schools. That gets you in the conversation. But then you've got to hammer home a deal at some point.
That's right. Well, and as you know, as elected leaders in our community, we as council members have got to be willing to go out on the road and sell our story, sit in rooms, boardrooms, and conference rooms and have conversations and be there when deals are made because that's what businesses are looking for now. Yeah. You got to be competitive. You got to be with your competitors and offer the deals that are being offered elsewhere, depending on what that deal looks like. Mm-hmm. But you have to be at the table.
Well, we talked a few weeks ago on the show about a new program called Rise that the business guys, which I'm on the board of that, getting together with the banking community and causing an opportunity where local cities and municipalities are more inclined to invest in local banks, right? So, and if they invest some of their excess reserves in local banks, then those local banks will, in turn, lend it out to the local community, which, I mean, helps all of us.
It makes perfect sense. In fact, I've reached out to our staff leadership in the city and asked them about what can Roseville do to be involved in that. And we're also talking about having a meeting with some of the folks from the regional business organization this week to talk about what does that look like? You know, what are you looking for? What can we do to maybe be a part of that? So I think it's a great idea. You know, that the days of the local community bank are dwindling.
Mm-hmm.
And what we've got to do as communities is we've got to support our local community banks.
Yes.
I think that's critical.
Yeah.
And so I appreciate the fact that they're taking this initiative, and Roseville needs to be a part of that.
And thinking about, you know, we talked about your dad a little bit earlier, right? We have a lot of patriotism that runs through this show. Barry's dad was a Marine, World War II. Your father was in the Battle of the Bulge.
Yeah.
Tell us that story.
My father went over to Germany in late 1944 and was involved in the Battle of the Hürtgen Forest and then the Battle of the Bulge, and was critically injured the end of the year 1944. In fact, at one point, he thought he was going to lose his left arm above below his elbow.
Wow.
And his right arm completely at the shoulder. But through perseverance and great medical care, and frankly, you know,
the man upstairs,
faith in God,
yeah.
He recovered and had full use of both arms, but he spent a year in hospitals over in Europe and in the States, and was an incredible man, an incredible role model, and somebody I think about every single day that I'm grateful for having the opportunity to grow up with, frankly.
Yeah, where we shape, we talked about Ronald Reagan as well, and all great things in America begin at the dinner table, and we learn so much from our mom and dad and our brothers and sisters and our philosophies that are shaped. You guys talked politics around the table when you were a kid.
Yeah, we did.
And then go into politics at some point, huh?
Well, and we talked politics around the table with our kids. We have three kids, and those were the things that we talked about. And when I was on council previously, my three kids went with me to events and to council meetings.
Wow.
In fact, they'd sit in the front row and do their homework at council meetings, because I wanted them to see what government's all about, and I wanted them to see my dedication to my community and helping to, you know, be a part of our community. So, yeah, that's something that I grew up with, and I tried to pass it on to my kids.
Not enough of that happening these days. And you turn on the news these days, and there's a lot of noise. And to get down into the real issues about putting food on the table for our families, you know, you get that a little bit more at a city council meeting than maybe you do on turning on, CNN or one of the other news channels, somewhat news channels.
Absolutely. That's one of the things, Mark, that I like about local government, because first of all, you can go to the grocery store and run into the people that elected you. But second of all, at a council meeting on Wednesday night, we can make a decision, and on Thursday morning, it can be implemented.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have a direct impact on the community, but you also have an understanding of what the community needs. I think the folks in Sacramento, in state government, and in Washington, D.C., in the federal government are getting lost. They're losing that connectivity with the people that elect them, and I think that's one of the challenges we're facing, frankly.
And you know, you may have noticed this, Facebook Live, I can see this. You'll see this if you do our YouTube video, but I'm growing out a mustache, and you know, this is the month of November, and they have something referred to as Movember, and it's to recognize and cause awareness for men's health issues. You are looking great, but you recently went through some tough stuff, or maybe you're going through some tough stuff. Would you mind sharing a little bit of that?
Oh, absolutely. First of all, for those people that can see me, my long hair, there's a reason for my long hair. I always wanted to grow my hair long, and when I was diagnosed with prostate cancer in April, I said, well, you know, I guess there's no better time than now to grow my hair. I was diagnosed with prostate cancer, a pretty advanced amount of cancer in my prostate, and some of the cancer was right along the wall of the prostate, and so it was decided that my prostate needed to be removed because they were concerned the cancer would get out into the rest of my body.
Yes.
And so my prostate was taken out. The cancer was limited to the prostate. The margins around my prostate were clear, And actually, the operation was 3 weeks ago today, and I feel great.
Yeah, you look awesome.
Well, thank you. I got to tell you, I appreciate your and Stacy's prayers and support. I reached out. I thought it was important that I shared with people what I was going through, because in my position, I think I can help to raise awareness about mm-hmm. prostate cancer and maybe help to educate men about prostate cancer. Yeah. You and I would never have had a conversation about this unless I had gone through this, let's be honest.
Yep.
So my plan is to create a nonprofit that'll raise money, and the money will be used for education and awareness about prostate cancer. And I think that's critically important. And I'm feeling great. I'm gonna be here a long time, but I'm gonna take advantage of that opportunity to help educate men about prostate cancer.
Wow, incredible perseverance, John, and I'm so happy that you're doing well, and the prognosis is great, and that you're doing something to help the next guy in line. So I, show a little bit about gratitude. I appreciate that. I appreciate what you do for the city, but turning the tables on you, just for as we sort of go to break and wrap up, you mentioned that you were thankful for your father and for his influence. Sometimes we don't get a chance to say thank you to people that have done something for us or that cared about us or maybe even taught us a tough lesson. If there's somebody that you can think of that you'd like to say thank you to, who would that be?
Boy, that's a great question. First and foremost, I'd like to say thank my Lord God, Savior Jesus Christ, because he has blessed me with so many incredible things, and I'm very comfortable saying on that on your radio show. I've been blessed. My life has been blessed, and I'm thankful. My parents were incredible role models for me. I'm thankful for them. They're both gone, but they left a lifetime lasting impression on me. And I can't go without thanking my wife, Lisa, who is an amazing life partner. We've been together, been married for almost 32 years now. And she has been an incredible friend and wife and mother and partner. She actually is the one that really runs our business. Mm-hmm. I just kind of hide there and pretend like I'm doing things. But she's an incredible business person. And then our children, our friends. I've had business people that I've worked with, government leaders I've worked with, friends like my dear friend Greg Van Dusen, who's sitting over there.
Yes.
I have been blessed with a lot of people in my life that have done amazing things with me and for me. And I am thankful for them. And I think at Thanksgiving, I say prayers for thanks of people that have influenced my life.
John Allard, we are thankful for you. You've inspired us today in many ways, and you continue to inspire us with what you're doing at the city, what you're doing in building a business, and what you're doing in looking at the horizon and building the nonprofit to cause us to be more aware of men's issues. When we return, I will be joined by Laura Good and Jeff Bennett of Startup Sac. Join the revolution at HaneyBiz.com, courtesy of the Entrepreneurs Organization of Sacramento and law firm Greenberg Traurig. This is the Haney Biz Project.
And now back to the Haney Biz Project with investorpreneur Mark Haney.
Welcome back to the Haney Biz Project, brought to you courtesy of accounting firm Clifton Larson Allen. I'm Mark Haney, and I'm joined by Laura Good and Jeff Bennett from Startup Sac. How are you guys doing today?
Doing great.
You're doing great. We're resting up. We had a busy day yesterday.
You're resting up. Okay, Laura, talk to us about why you're so tired.
Well, we worked with the city of Sacramento to put on a big event for them yesterday called Innovate Sac,
okay,
which launched the Sacramento Urban Technology Labs.
Okay, what is that?
Why don't we let Jeff tell you?
Okay.
Tag team here. So Sacramento Urban Technology Lab is really kind of an initiative or a vision, really, from the mayor's Office for Innovation and Entrepreneurship. Mm-hmm. And it's all about transforming Sacramento into an innovation hub via kind of seven verticals of like IoT and cybersecurity, autonomous vehicles, food, ag tech, and a few others that we're known for.
Well, tell us about Startup Sac, your organization. How long have you been doing this? What is the purpose behind Startup Sac?
So the purpose is really to accelerate the startup and innovation ecosystem here in Sacramento by educating, informing, engaging, and connecting entrepreneurs and innovators.
And
pretty much focused on tech startups. It's really only been around a short time. The website, it started off with basically a website in 2015, about 2 years ago, and we became a nonprofit or organized as a nonprofit last this last March.
Well, Laura, why do you guys focus so much on the tech community, right? Entrepreneurs come in all shapes and sizes. How did you decide to focus in on tech?
I think it has a lot to do with our backgrounds. So for prior to 2015, I worked for a nonprofit Sacramento Area Regional Technology Alliance for 7 years. And our mission was to... was to grow the technology industry sector in the Sacramento region. Mm-hmm. So that's how I started working with entrepreneurs. Plus my own background, I worked in the electronics industry, including working for a startup in the satellite communications mm-hmm. world. So that was just kind of
go with
in
what
my
you're
blood.
Good at. Yeah. I mean, what does that say about Sacramento though right now? What do you think the opportunity in tech and tech startups is stronger than maybe in other areas?
You've been around in the ecosystem here longer, maybe.
I don't know that it's stronger than others, but I think the last couple years, there's been a lot more hoopla around it. And I mean that in a good sense. Mm-hmm. So there's been a lot more attention paid on the technology industry sector in the Sacramento region. And, you know, people are putting money into it. The city is organizing programs around it. That just seems like there's more community around it now than there was 6, even 5 years ago.
Yeah, last week on the show, we had Jordan Darling. He just had a highly successful exit in Freeform, the electric jet ski company. And Tyler Smith, who's not that far from you guys, you know, with SkySlope, and it's a software as a service. So two tech-based companies having successful opportunity here in Sacramento to grow. I mean, what seeds do you see, Laura, in terms of being planted right now that are beginning to sprout here in Sacramento?
Yeah. So a few years ago or a couple years ago, Moneta Ventures started their fund, and funding had been pretty dry for a while before that seed funding for our startups. We also, the city of Sacramento launched the Mayor's Office of Innovation and Entrepreneurship, hired a chief innovation officer. They launched the Rails grant program, which funded entrepreneurial support organizations.
And you guys got some funding from that too, is that
right? Yeah, we did. We did. And that's when we decided to take it, it's to make Startup Sac more than a passion project, to make it an actual business.
Yeah, prior to the grant, we it was just all, you know, spare time, passion project, doing it, you know, when I had some time in volunteering, basically.
Mm-hmm. Now, Jeff, what's your normal background? What would you normally be doing if you weren't doing Startup Sac?
My career started out as an engineer at Boeing, actually, and then I worked for a small software company in Seattle for a couple of years before that little crash in the early 2000s. Then I became a freelance web guy, web developer and multimedia designer. So that's what I have been doing for the last 15 years or so. And then I started Startup Sac, the website anyway. And then we kind of collaborated and made it into an entity.
What do you love about Startup Sac?
I really like putting out content about the resources and the events and things that can educate the entrepreneurs and the innovators in the ecosystem here. So I like writing the articles and publishing the resources, going out and interviewing the founders and publishing those. Organizing some events. Laura's the event, the better event.
She likes to throw the party. And you put out the info. That's kind of how you guys break up the duties?
We both do it a bit of both, but I'm focused mostly on the website.
And you're thinking about startups, you know, this is the Thanksgiving Day show, and, you know, this is my hometown here in Sacramento, and I am so appreciative of the teamwork that is happening. You know, you two and Startup Sac and the other leaders that you've mentioned coming together to help these young companies get off the ground. And so what kind of resources are really out there?
So there's a lot of meetings and meetup groups and events on a weekly basis, and except next week, there's not very many. Yeah. But and then there's co-working spaces, there's accelerator and incubator programs. We've got the funders, so there's kind of I've got actually a little diagram that kind of maps all this out on the website. So and then there's the university systems, and what else am I forgetting? The maker spaces.
Well, some funding now.
You talked about the funding. The venture. Lokesh from Moneta and Jack Crawford from Impact, and you know Kurt and Steve from DCA Capital and all the different people who are the SAC Angels. I'm involved with all those organizations directly. And I am so thankful that the teamwork that I see from a finance side, along with guys like Five Star Bank and the banking community, really coming together, embracing what's happening here in the startup community and even in the little bit later stage tech companies.
Yeah. And one of the things about Startup SAC when we launched that was really important to us was to remain neutral. We think the ecosystem is healthiest, the startup ecosystem, when no one player owns it. So,
you mean I can't own it all?
No.
You can't own it all.
Oh,
but
I hate when that
you know,
happens.
The more players that we have in it who are contributing to it, the stronger it is. So, for example, we don't promote one co-working space over another. You know, if you have a great event for startups, we're going to publicize it, whether or not you're a sponsor of Startup SAC or not. That we both read a book called Startup Communities by Brad Feld, which is kind of our Bible and what we have organized Startup SAC around. So that's really important to us. And I think that we're with all these different groups now that are involved in the startup community, I think that we have a healthier ecosystem than we had, say, 2-3 years ago.
Even 6 months ago. I mean, there's so much happened this year alone that has really raised the tide of entrepreneurship here.
Yeah.
What advice would you give to entrepreneurs right now?
I think go out. I mean, Lewis Stewart said it a couple of weeks ago on your show. He said, just show up.
Yeah.
I mean, I had people ask me yesterday after our event, you know, what can I do? And it's like, go to the events, meet people, talk to people, network, and start learning. And he's, you know, looking for a co-founder. Well, you got to go out and find them. You got to go out to events.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think there's a balance there, though, that some people, I'll call them entrepreneurs, go to all the events, but they never actually put any work in to their own startup. So I think they need to have a goal when they're going to go to an event. And, you know, what is their goal? Why are they going to that? What are they trying to do? And actively work that, not just show up and eat pizza and drink beer.
And there's enough of them now that you can pick and choose which ones are most appropriate for a person.
Yeah. I love that. Show up. I mean, it starts with showing up. I always give people the advice of show up, but also don't forget you have to sell something. So often people begin to tinker around with a product and they spend too much time trying to perfect the product and they've never get it in the hands of a customer. We got to get the customers using the product. We got to get them hopefully paying for the product.
Right.
And that's where the magic happens. That's when you learn whether you really have a business or not, or whether it's just some cool idea that you did as a hobby.
Right. Get that MVP out there.
Yeah.
Yes.
We really push that, the lean startup method and early validation of your idea with customers and, you know, build, measure, learn. That don't go build something without getting good customer feedback that helps you design the right product.
Well, you know, being Thanksgiving weekend coming up and everything, just thinking about, Laura, maybe just shortly, what are you most thankful for this weekend?
From a personal, a business standpoint,
whatever,
it's hard to
separate. What's in your heart?
Well, I guess I'm thankful that I'm very close to my family. I moved back to California 10 years ago. I live next door to my parents. I've mentioned to some people that my dad is sick right now with lymphoma, and I'm thankful that I can go visit him every day, just walk out of my door 25 feet, go sit down, have a cup of coffee and chat with my parents and see how things are going. So I'm thankful for that relationship and that closeness.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Jeff?
Well, I got to say, first of all, my wife. Thankful for her, thankful for the home we have, and thankful for being in Sacramento and the great community that we have here. It's a lot of fun, and I love what I get to do. So I'm thankful for that, too.
Well, I am thankful that you two joined me today. Thankful for what you're doing right here in Sacramento startup community. You know, and I got to take a minute to thank the sponsors of this radio show, of the entrepreneurial community, the people that make the Haney Biz Project possible, Five Star Bank, Audi Rockland, Sun System Technology, Hub International, Clifton Larson Allen, Greenberg Troig Law, Silvers HR, Ethan Conrad Properties, DCA Capital, the Entrepreneurs Organization, and of course, our newest sponsor, the California Backyard. Next week, we are going to have an incredible show. We're going to have Dale Carlson. He's the founder of Sleep Train, right? Wow. And he just donated $6 million to Sacramento State University to build out their entrepreneurial and innovation center there. I'm on the advisory board. I was just sharing that earlier. But you know what? He's bringing along the president of Sac State, right? Mr. Robert Nelson will be joining us. We'll be talking about entrepreneurship there at the university and how the young people of our community really are the future. When we return, I will share our takeaways and closing thoughts about the importance of giving thanks. Join the revolution at HaneyBiz.com, courtesy of Ethan Conrad Properties and the financial advisor, Stiefel Financial. This is the Haney Biz Project.
Welcome back for Mark's takeaways from today's Haney Biz Project.
Welcome back to the Haney Biz Project, brought to you courtesy of Silver's HR. I'm Mark Haney, and I am back here with Marcus Haney. And today, Marcus, we've had a front row seat with the leaders of Sacramento. We've been talking about Thanksgiving. It's Thanksgiving Day weekend, and what we're most thankful for. And, you know, I'm thankful to have this front row seat to the people who are moving and shaking here in Sacramento. Marcus, some closing thoughts?
Yeah, absolutely. I am thankful to be a part of what's going on here in our great region of Sacramento and what Barry Broom and the Startup Sacramento folks are doing for entrepreneurs here in our region. I can't get enough of it. So thanks y'all for what you guys do for people like me and you, Mark.
Yeah, no doubt. And you know, it's Thanksgiving Day weekend. We always take a minute to think about things that we're thankful for. I mean, it's the gratitude, I think, that puts us in such a good mood. Whenever I think about how thankful I am for the people that I know, for the people in my life, the people that have been in my life up to now, it always puts me in a good mood. And I think that gratitude is so healthy for my soul, for sure. And I think about, have I lived a life that has regrets, right? Or do I have any regrets? And I think if there's any, it would be around not expressing my gratitude. You know, my wife and I picked out our burial plots last year. She turned 50, and you know, and doing that really makes you kind of contemplate your life. You know, we're going to live in Roseville. We're going to be buried right by the football field. All the coaches over there in Roseville, I'll be able to listen to the crowd roar, because the cemetery in Roseville is right next to the football field. It's very convenient for a guy like me who loves the sport. But you know, thinking about your life is something that happens when you go through that process. And I think it's put me in the mindset of appreciation, right? Have I told everybody that I love that I, you know, tell them how I feel about them? And I think sometimes I feel like, you know, what if I died today? And it's like, oh shoot, I'm not ready to go. I haven't done what I need to do. And other times I think, you know what? Everybody in my life knows how I feel about them and what is important to me. And I think I'll leave this world with people knowing at least what I stood for. And hopefully that happens, and how appreciative I am, the gratitude that I have. And I mean, I think about my friends and my family and my community, my family. You know, there's nothing that's more important to me than my family and how appreciative I am of them and what they've been in my life, right? You, Marcus, your sister, your children, my grandchildren. I'm thinking about my wife. The other day, my wife, you know, your mom, Marcus, has a hearing problem, and her right ear, she can't hear anything, zero hearing. In her left ear, she can only hear about 40%. And so she wakes up occasionally, and this happened, you know, just the other day, and she couldn't hear. And I just thought to myself, not only am I so thankful for my wife, but, you know, I'm so thankful for her hearing, because, you know, what does that do for any of us that if we can't hear? And I know there's a lot of people out there that have found ways to deal with these kind of challenges, but, you know, I'm so thankful that I have her and that she's able to hear, and that, you know, that we, you know, we have that time together to let each other know how we feel while we're here. And thinking about my friends, right? And thinking about, you know, my buddy, my next door neighbor, Tom. He's having some eyesight issues right now, and, you know, he couldn't see the other day, and we're talking about that. And just how thankful I am that Tom's going to be, he's going to be okay. He's working through it, and he's going to have his eyesight. But just some things that we take for granted, and we don't say thanks. And, you know, thinking about Sacramento and the front row seat that we have in seeing Sacramento unfold and the heroes of capitalism, the entrepreneurs of Sacramento. We're sitting right here at this time when everything is in the process of changing. And you know what? I think about the people that maybe don't see that, they cannot feel that. My mom had a brain aneurysm, and she, you know, 20 something years ago, and she's not able to feel what I feel. And you know, I think about Lauren, my right-hand girl here at the office. Her mom is you know, as we get older and suffer with different diseases and things like that, you know, our memory, our memories go. And, you know, Marcus, this show is a chance for me to learn, to listen, to be involved, but also to fall back on these memories, right? Not yeah. everybody has their memory. And I, you know, and yeah, thinking about how you know, how grateful I am that I have some of these basic things and that I'm able to share some of my memories with the people that care about me, care about entrepreneurship. I'm able to help share those stories. Wow. You know, there's nothing like being appreciative for what you got. So, Marcus, as we call this thing to a close on Thanksgiving Day weekend, I just say that we, a special shout out and a special salute to the leaders of Hometown Patriotism, to Barry Broom, John Allard, Laura Good, Jeff Bennett, and to people like you fighting the good fight. We didn't talk about it too, Marcus, but you you took one for the team in Afghanistan, and there's nothing more we're more appreciative than you and what you've done for this country. To the 13 stripes, to the 50 stars, and to the one big American story always worth fighting for, yours. Never above you, never below you, always by your side.